Thank you for joining Temple Baptist Church as Pastor Brady Martin preaches on a new series called One, where he shares one verse, one truth, to share with one person.
Have a seat and turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. This is our last week in our summer sermon series that we've been calling One, where we've been looking at one verse, one truth to share with one person. And we've done 10 of those, and I trust that memorizing those verses have been helpful to you this summer in hiding God's word in your heart. But this week is week 11, and so it's a bonus. So if you don't get this one memorized, it's all for bonus points. So if you need to make up one, you get to do it this week. So it's bonus, week 11. So will be Colossians 1:28. How many of y'all went on a summer vacation? Some of y'all went on summer vacation? Yeah, that's great. That's great. Summer vacations are always fun. As a kid, I always loved going on summer vacation. We would always, almost always go to Panama City, Florida, to the shores, those white beaches. We'd almost go every year. And I loved it. We would load up the car. My brothers and sister, my mom and dad, we'd all load up the car, head down to Florida for a week there staying at the beach. But, you know, one of my favorite things as a kid was I got to read the map. I got to hold the map and study the map as we went. I just always really liked maps. It was good. I really enjoyed the maps because back then we didn't have GPSs, right? You couldn't just punch that in. But if you had the map, you could go as we were driving through Mississippi. I could look and see all these towns in Mississippi. I could look around and see these towns in Alabama. I could learn the geography of the place. And so it was really helpful to me to learn that kind of stuff. And I loved the maps. But you see, we had a destination. It was Panama City, Florida. We also had a map showing us how to get there. And after a few missed exits and some wrong turns, we would always end up in our destination. We would always end up in Panama City, Florida. But I was wondering, what if you decided to go on a family vacation and you said, hey kids, everybody get in the car. And they get in and they say, Dad, where are we going? He said, well, I don't know. We're just going on vacation. Well, how are we going to get there? Well, you know, we left the phones at home. We don't have a map. We're just going to go somewhere and hope we end up where we're supposed to go. I'm going to tell you, some of that sounds good to y'all. Like just no agenda. But I'm going to tell y'all, you cannot do that with kids. And you're just thinking, we're just going to hope we end up somewhere? No, it doesn't work that way. But I'm afraid that many Christians live their lives that way. And I'm afraid many churches actually do ministry that way. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how to get there. They're just living without a destination, without a goal, without a place they're headed. They're living without a map to know how to get there. They're without any kind of understanding of where to go. And I'm afraid many families and churches are like that. Many parents hope their kids turn out to be followers of Jesus. But they hope that things work out well, but really they don't have a plan. They don't have a destination. They're just getting in the car and going. They're doing parenting that would be more equivalent to a slot machine. You hit the button and hope it turns out well. And I'm afraid many churches often do ministry this way. They end up doing some singing. They do some preaching. They do some classes. And they hope people turn out better than when they came. The Apostle Paul wants to make sure that we know where we're going as families and as a church, and he wants us to know this morning how we are to get there. He wants us to know the end destination, and he wants us also to know how we are to get there. So he's going to tell us where we need to go, but he's also going to give us the roadmap this morning in Colossians 1, verse 28. Colossians 1, verse 28, we'll be seeing where we are to go as families and as a church, and how we are to get there. Colossians 1:28, the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Him, that's Jesus, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we, catch this, may present everyone mature in Christ. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. Notice the word everyone there. Him we proclaim, warning who? Teaching and present Everyone's mature in Christ. Therefore, the mission of the church, there's a lot of good things we do, but the mission of the church, the target, the goal, where we're headed, the mission of the church is to see people become fully mature followers of Jesus. The mission of the church and of your home is to see people become fully mature followers of Jesus. This means, moms and dads, you have a mini church that you are there called to shepherd, and you are to see your kids become fully mature followers of Jesus. As a church, that is our mission, to see people become fully mature followers of Jesus. And we're going to look at three things this morning that I think help us understand the destination and the roadmap. That's the mission, the message, and the method. The mission, where we're going, and then how are we going to get there? The message we are to proclaim, and then the method of getting people to their destination. So let's look at the mission this morning. The mission. And to understand this, we have to kind of begin at the end of the verse and then work backwards. So let's begin at the end. The mission. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. We may present everyone mature in Christ. Paul wants us to know that the church has a mission. You as parents have a mission. Dads, it's your job to make sure that your family knows the destination. Dads, it's your job to make sure that your families know that you're not just driving around aimlessly, but you know where you're going, that you are headed somewhere. And where you are headed is for your son or daughter to become a fully mature follower of Jesus. Paul wants the mission to be incredibly clear, incredibly simple, but it's often overlooked and forgotten. Temple, our job, we exist to see people become fully mature followers of Jesus. That's why Temple is here, to see people become fully mature followers of Jesus. This means, parents, that it's good when your kids succeed. But ultimately, your job is not for them to succeed academically, not to succeed athletically or socially, but our job is for them to become fully mature followers of Jesus. We talk a lot about discipleship around here as a church. We're actually hiring a discipleship pastor. We're inviting people to come on Wednesday nights to discipleship night. We're inviting and saying, hey, come for dinner and discipleship Wednesday nights. 6 o'clock, we'll have Awana, and 6:30, we'll have adult activities, and we'll have dinner at 5:30, and we want you to come and be a part of this. And you can read more about that in your bulletin. But why are we so much about discipleship? It's because what discipleship means is to make fully mature followers of Jesus. So what does discipleship look like? It means this, that when you first come to know Jesus, when you get saved, when you take hold of Christ, when you're born again, when you first come to know Jesus, you are going on a trajectory this way, and when Jesus saved you, he began to give you a new trajectory. It's as if you've been going in the wrong direction and someone reprogrammed your GPS with a new destination. Have y'all ever been, we do this sometimes, Jennifer will route the destination and then I'll be driving and she'll say, turn left. And I'm like, I don't think we should be turning left. You know, like I know it's that way, but she says turn left because we put in the wrong destination. And when you put in the wrong destination, the GPS gives you the wrong directions. Some of y'all been there. Some people may have ended up church here that way this morning. If so, welcome. but here's the thing. So if you have the wrong destination in, you're going to be headed in the wrong direction. And so what God does when we get saved, he takes our GPS coordinates for the direction of our lives, and he turns it from going this way, and he puts a new destination in. That new destination is fully mature follower of Jesus. And so when we get saved, it's not that we arrive at the end, but we go to the beginning and we turn around, repentance, we turn around from that direction, and now we have a new trajectory, becoming a fully mature follower of Jesus. Now, when people get saved, I'm going to tell you something. They do not become fully mature disciples overnight. They stay here. And discipleship, when we say discipleship, what we mean is this. Everyone taking the next step into maturity in Christ. Oh, I've learned to read my Bible. Okay. I've learned to pray. I've learned to share my faith. I've joined a Sunday school class. I'm beginning to parent with the gospel in mind. I'm loving my spouse the way I've been called to. I've forgiven that person I was supposed to forgive. I'm actually beginning to trust God with my money, and I'm beginning to tithe and give an offering. And then you take another step. And you know what? When you get here, it's not like you get done. What you realize when you get here is, oh, wow, Jesus is actually further than I thought he was, and I've got more steps to go. You see, discipleship is all about taking that next step in your journey of faith and becoming like Jesus. When you're saved, it is not the end. It's the beginning of your new trajectory of becoming a fully mature disciple of Jesus. So our job as a church, our mission is to make fully mature disciples, not just to make converts, but fully mature disciples. So our job is to see people come to know Jesus, take this step, this step, this step, this step, until they become fully mature disciples of Jesus. That's what discipleship is. That's our mission. But there's a few myths around discipleship that I want to bust for you. I want to bust three myths for you about discipleship this morning. First, some people believe you've already arrived. You believed when you were saved, you were fast forwarded to the destination. You've already arrived. This is the lie that Satan wants to whisper in your ear, that if you're right here, he says, okay, well, at least you ain't going backwards anymore. And you're there, and he says, you've already arrived. You're doing well. But I want you to know that we all have a discipleship deficiency. None of us have arrived yet. You see, none of us have ever reached being like Jesus. If you don't believe me, just ask your spouse. But sometimes we'll do this. We'll say things like, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person, you know? I mean, I serve people, but, you know, I'm not a reader, so I don't read my Bible. As if you're informing God of something he did not know. God, you did not make me with a personality type to be someone who has to read your Bible. And I think God's thinking, I'm the one who made you. I want you to know I gave you this book. I wrote you these words. I know your propensity to do a lot of things. I know you like watching football more than reading, but that doesn't mean that's a good thing. And so I'm calling you to be a student of my word. I'm calling you to actually become a student of the Bible, to take a step of reading it. Reading the Bible is for every Christian. It's not just for a select few. And you think you've already arrived. Say, well, I'm a servant, I'm not a reader, and so don't read your Bible. Or some people will say, well, I've read my Bible, and I've studied my Bible, but I don't have the spiritual gift of tithing. That's convenient. Or I don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism. Those are not things that are just spiritual gifts. Some people have them heightened, but I want to tell you, those are commands from the Lord. They're not something that are heightened for a special group of people. And we think we've already arrived because what we'll do is the things we're good at, we'll kind of focus on those. But the things we need to grow in, we just say, well, that's not me. But when the Lord is really wanting you to take those next steps because he wants you to be a fully mature follower of Jesus. Second myth I want to bust is people will say, well, that's too radical. But I want you to know this morning that following Jesus is always radical. We are following someone who lived and died over 2,000 years ago, and his own people didn't even like him. He was crucified like a common criminal. Jesus comes along and tells us to love our enemies, to care for the broken, to look out for the interest of others, even at great cost for themselves. It is radical to follow Jesus. But when the Spirit of God wants to take us on that next step, in the journey, the old snake likes to come into our ear and whisper, that's radical. Normal people don't do that. Normal people don't give 10% of what they earn to the offering at the church. Normal people don't do that. Normal people don't strike up conversations with people at the coffee shop or at school about Jesus. People don't talk about that stuff. Normal people don't spend their time reading their Bibles. They watch TV. Normal people don't do these things, he whispers. That's radical. It's radical. And the devil wants us to believe that following Jesus, we can do it, but not be too radical about it. But following Jesus is taking up your cross. And taking up your cross will always be a radical commitment to following our crucified and risen King. You see, if Christianity wanted to brand itself in a way that didn't seem radical, then they wouldn't have gone with a cross as the emblem of Christianity. A Roman instrument of torture. Probably not the best branding strategy. You think you might have gone with a crown, or you might have gone with all kinds of things, but a cross? Why? Because the followers of Jesus knew from the very beginning that to follow Jesus was radical. It was a big deal. And so don't let Satan whisper that into your ear. The third myth I want to bust, well, that's just for super Christians. That's just for pastors, deacons, and the professional Christians. There's a great book I once read called Everyone's a Theologian. Everyone's a theologian. The word theologian just means someone who thinks about God. Someone who thinks about God. And I want to tell you, everyone in this room thinks about God. Everyone in here is actually a theologian. Did you know that? You're a theologian. You can tell your friends and they'll be impressed. You're a theologian because you have thoughts about God. The question is whether they're good thoughts or bad thoughts about God. Whether they're right or wrong. See, that's what this person said in this book. He said, everyone's theologian. The question is just whether they're a good one or a bad one. But you're a theologian. Did you know, dads, that you're raising theologians in your home? Did you know that's what's going on over in our kids' ministry? We're raising theologians. We're raising people who think about God. They may not get paid for it, being an academic theologian, but that's not the point. The point is we must think about God rightly, but the devil wants to come in and say, you're not smart enough, you're not holy enough, you're not gifted enough to be what God wants you to be. So when you get ready to take that next step, the devil may say, I'm not sure. You want to read your Bible, but you're not a reader. You want to pray, but you can't really pay attention. You want to go to that study, but you really can't cut it. You don't know enough. And so the devil wants to come in and say, well, that's just for an elite group of Christians to share their faith. He wants to keep you from taking that next step in your faith journey. He's going to say things to you like you've already arrived. That's too radical, and that's just for super Christians. But the problem is with that is God wants you to take that next step. And so I want to encourage you. May the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Spirit, as he prompts you, be louder than the voice of the serpent who's wanting to keep you where you are. The mission is clear. We are to help people become fully mature followers of Jesus. We are to see them continue to take the next step as they become like Jesus. That's why you hear me use the phrase all the time that we are a multi-generational church united to do something, to make disciples. We have a lot of things we do as a church, but our aim and our focus is singular, to make disciples for the glory of God, fully mature followers of Jesus. That's our goal. And I was thinking about this week. During, of all times, while I was watching a preseason football game, I want to tell y'all, football's back. No amens? Nobody's amen preseason football. It's not even really football, right? It's just kind of sort of football. And so I was watching. One of the things I like about it is sometimes the wide receivers and quarterbacks are not on the same page in preseason. They haven't practiced enough together. They really don't know what they're doing. And sometimes the quarterback will drop back and he'll throw it. And like, you don't know if it was a good throw or not because there's no receiver there because the receiver was blocking. Right? Like he didn't know what was going on. But I got thinking about that this week. I thought, what if when the coach called all the players over and he began to tell them the play? And what if he told each of them a different play? What if he went to the quarterback and said, all right, it's a run play? If he goes to the running back and says, all right, we want to run a passing play. To the wide receiver, he says, we're running a screen. To the offensive line, he says, we're running a counter. And then he says, all right, everybody ready? Break. They go out and they run the play. What's it going to look like? The Cowboys on a Sunday afternoon. All right, so, but it is going to be chaos. It's going to be crazy because they're all doing different things. And I'm afraid that's what many churches look like. Everybody running their plays in all different ways. But the Apostle Paul wants us to know, God has already called the play. He's told us what to do. Our job is clear. We are to make fully mature followers of Jesus. That's the play it's called. We're all to run it. That is the mission of the church, to make fully mature followers of Jesus, united, one play, to make disciples for the glory of God. So that is the mission, to make disciples for his glory. But how are we to do that? How are we, if the mission is to take people from here to here, how are we to accomplish it? And he's going to tell us at the beginning of the verse, him we proclaim, the message. There's a message that we've got to communicate to people that moves them along this path. Him we proclaim. We are to preach and teach Christ in all of his glory, fullness, truth, and beauty. I'm afraid too many people have settled for a watered-down Jesus and don't really know how great he is. What Paul is saying is that the more we learn about Jesus, the more we become like him. How can we grow as followers of Jesus if we don't know more about him? How can we become like him if we don't know anything about who he is? I'm afraid many people in our culture don't follow Jesus because they've never really even encountered the real Jesus. They reject a false notion of him. I believe one of the great scandals of the evangelical church today is so many church-going people do not know God's word, they don't love doctrine, and they aren't growing in their knowledge of God. Albert Mohler is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. That's my alma mater. Went there for 3 degrees, so they should be paying me now. But Al Mohler is the president there. He wrote about this 2 years ago, and he wrote an essay called The Scandal of Biblical Illiteracy. The Scandal of Biblical Illiteracy, and I want to share that essay with you here this morning. He wrote this. He said, "While America's evangelical Christians are rightly concerned about the secular worldview's rejection of biblical Christianity, we ought to give some urgent attention to a problem much closer to home. Biblical illiteracy in the church. The scandalous problem is our own, and it's up to us to fix it. Researchers George Gallup and Jim Castelli put the problem squarely this way. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. How bad is it? Researchers tell us that it's worse than most people could imagine. Fewer than half of all adults in America can name the 4 Gospels. Many Christians cannot identify more than 2 or 3 of the disciples. According to data Barna Research, 60% of Americans can't even name 5 of the 10 Commandments. No wonder people break the 10 Commandments all the time. They don't know what they are, said George Barna, president of the firm. The bottom line, increasingly, America is biblically illiterate. Multiple surveys reveal the problem in stark terms. According to 82% of Americans, God helps those who help themselves. They think that's a Bible verse. Those identified as born-again Christians did better by 1%. A majority of adults think the Bible teaches that the most important purpose in life is taking care of one's family. Some of the statistics are enough to perplex even those aware of the problem. A Barna poll indicated that at least 12% of adults believe Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. If you thought that, she's not. Another survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% of them thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Again, they're not. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. He didn't preach that either. We are in big trouble. Secularized Americans should not be expected, the world should not be expected to be knowledgeable about the Bible. As the nation's civic conversation is stripped of all biblical references and content, Americans increasingly live in a scripture-free public space. Confusion and ignorance of the Bible's content should be assumed of post-Christian America. The larger scandal isn't that the world doesn't know about the Bible. The larger scandal is biblical ignorance among Christians. Choose whichever statistic or survey you like. The general pattern is the same. American Christians know less and less about the Bible. It shows. How can a generation be biblically shaped in its understanding of human sexuality when it believes Sodom and Gomorrah to be a married couple? No wonder Christians show a growing tendency to compromise on the issue of homosexuality. Many who identify themselves as Christians are similarly confused about the gospel itself. An individual who believes that God helps those who help themselves will find salvation by grace and justification by faith alone an alien concept. Christians who lack biblical knowledge are the products of churches that marginalize biblical knowledge. Bible teaching now often accounts only for a diminished fraction of the local church time. Youth ministries are asked to fix problems and provide entertainment and keep kids busy. How many local church youth programs actually produce substantial Bible knowledge in young people? Even the pulpit has been sidelined in many congregations. Preaching has taken a back seat to other concerns in corporate worship. The centrality of biblical preaching to the formation of disciples is lost. And Christian ignorance leads to Christian indolence and worse. The reality, he says, is it's our problem. And it's up to this generation of Christians to reverse course. Recovery starts at home. Parents are to be the first and foremost educators of their own children, diligently teaching them the Word of God. Parents cannot franchise their responsibility out to any congregation, no matter how good that congregation may be. Churches must recover their centrality and urgency of biblical teaching and preaching and refuse to sideline the teaching ministry of the preacher. Pastors and churches are often too busy or too distracted to make biblical knowledge a central aim of ministry. And they will produce believers who simply do not know enough to be faithful disciples. He concludes, "We will not believe more than we know, and we will not live higher than our beliefs. The many fronts of Christian compromise in this generation can be directly traced to biblical illiteracy in the pews and the absence of biblical preaching and teaching in our homes and our churches. This generation must get deadly serious about the problem of biblical illiteracy, or a frighteningly large number of Americans, Christians included, will go on thinking that Sodom and Gomorrah lived happily ever after." That's the world we live in. But I want you to know that as a church, we see this problem. As leadership, we see the reality. We know what's going on. And it is our mission and singular focus to make disciples who are fully mature followers of Jesus. And we know where this starts. And that starts in our kids' ministry. You see, we know this is a problem. And we are looking at it, staring at it square in the face and saying, in Gainesville, in Cook County, in the surrounding areas, we will be a church that stands against the cultural tide, and we will be a church that teaches kids, students, and adults from beginning to end what the Bible says. Because they need to know it. They need to know it. That's why we are beginning this fall new curriculum in our kids ministry called the Gospel Project. The Gospel Project is designed to take kids over 3 years from Genesis to Revelation, showing each week how the story culminates in Christ. And so we promise you that if you have your kids here week in and week out, when they graduate high school, they will know the Bible. They'll know it. From Genesis to Revelation, they will know the Bible. I can't tell you how all their behavior will be, but I will tell you if they are here, they will know the Bible. They will know the Word of God. And so we are committed to that. We also believe that knowing the Word of God is not just something for kids and something for students. Knowing the Word of God is a lifelong pursuit of every follower of Jesus. We must be growing in our knowledge. That's why we as a church will always unapologetically preach Christ in him crucified, in all his glory, in all his beauty, in all his majesty, all his fullness, from the pulpit, in our Sunday school classes, in our small groups. It'll be preached all the time. Him we proclaim. It's not our programs we proclaim. It's not us we proclaim. We will proclaim Christ unapologetically until everyone is mature in their knowledge of God. So we'll keep proclaiming Jesus until that happens. But Paul doesn't just give us a message. So he tells us we must preach Christ. We must see people know the word of God. How are we to do that? The method. So we saw here the mission, the message, and lastly, the method. He says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. He gives it to us in a negative and a positive. We're to warn everyone and teach everyone with all wisdom. We don't think about warning people a lot. But you see, Paul was dealing with a lot of false teaching there in Asia Minor. And as he writes to the church at Colossae, he knows there's a lot going on there of false teaching, people distorting the gospel. And so he knows it's important that they understand what to guard against false teaching. I want you to know just as much false teaching was in that day, there is just as much today. I want you to know, even here in the Metroplex, there is a ton of false teaching about who Jesus is, about the gospel, and about following him. And so I just want to say it's important that we get this. There are people out there who preach and teach things like this. That if you will just name something, claim it, and at the end of your prayer say, I declare it in Jesus' name, they think that obligates God to give it to you. I tried that as a 14-year-old, and the girl still said no to the date. That was a joke. It's not true. Yeah, thanks, buddy. But here's the thing. It doesn't work that way. You see, our hope as Christians is not in this world. We do not lay up treasures here in this world. Our treasure is in heaven, in Christ, kept secure for us. But so many false teachers want to say, look, you can name it and claim it now. This is what Jesus has done. You can be wealthy. You can be healthy. And they typically fly planes that are their own off the backs of good people who sent them a $100 check. You see, that is false teaching. You need to stay away from that. I'm warning you here, stay away from the name it and claim it, health, wealth, preaching, because it is straight from the pit of hell. There are other people around, prominent people who preach things that the Trinity is not true, that there's no Father, Son, and Spirit. There's just one God, and they take turns being Father. God takes turns being Father, Son, and Spirit. But they're anti-Trinitarian. They're called oneness. And so this idea is a heresy of the early church, and it leads to a lot of problematic things. And so those kind of things we must warn people against by telling them what the truth is. So it's important that we warn people from false teaching. But you might think, okay, Brady, that's a little dramatic, all that. Paul doesn't just look at them when there's false teaching in the early church and say, well, at least they're in church. Because that's what we do. Well, at least they're in church. No, we must be so committed to the truth that we are able to warn people from false doctrine. And one of the things that's helpful about this is that we are not supposed to just divide over silly things like you disagree when Jesus is coming back and they think this time. You're not warning people about that. What we're warning people is when they distort the gospel of Jesus, we are to protect people because we're to see them presented mature in Christ. And if they begin over here and they're supposed to take the next step and their trajectory is a fully mature disciple, and someone begins leading them over here in a false doctrine, we need to do a course correction. And Paul says we must warn people that way. But we're not just to warn them, but we're to teach them. Second part of that, the positive side, we're to teach. And notice who we're to teach. We're to teach everyone from kids to adults. Everyone who is a follower of Jesus must be a learner. We must be disciples, learner followers. Someone who learns is someone, and someone who practices what they learn is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I want to tell you something. If you are not learning more and more about Jesus, I can tell you, you are not growing in Jesus. If you're not learning about him, you are not growing. So I want to encourage you, be a lifetime learner in following Jesus. Sometimes we'll say things with good intentions like, the gospel's so simple, even a child can understand it, which is true. But the problem is, often our understanding of the gospel and Jesus don't grow up from there. I'm afraid a lot of people who grew up in church actually, if they're honest with themselves, knew more about the Bible when they were a kid and a teenager than they do now. Because back then you could tell me the books of the Bible, right? You had the song memorized. Some of you are thinking, I don't know if I can sing it right now. Sometimes we know more then because we were in VBS and we were in Awana and we were in this and that. And we know that. And we, as we've gotten adults, we've kind of moved away from being learners. But that's not what God intends. He wants us to be lifetime learners. You see, growing into a fully mature disciple takes time. But it doesn't just happen naturally. You can grow up physically without growing up spiritually. And so we have to be intentional about it. Discipleship isn't just for kids, though. But obviously, it begins there. So that's why we're doing Awana on Wednesday nights. And that's why we're doing these discipleship nights on Wednesdays. And we want to invite you to them. Our kids will be doing this Awana program that focuses on memorizing and storing God's word in your heart. When I was growing up, my church started doing Awana. And I started going. And you go in, and I had a verse to memorize. I remember my first night, Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8 was my verse that night. And there was a man who had volunteered his time to come on Wednesday nights after working. And his name, they called him Clink, because he had been in Vietnam and he had injured his leg and had some kind of metal thing in there that when he walked, it sounded like a clink. And so Clink came, and Clink would sit there and he'd listen to my verses. And I remember that night, my first time, I would recite my verse, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. And I want to tell you, ever since I learned that verse, the grace of God has been at work in my life ever since. You see, maybe some of you, like Clink, need to volunteer to be a part of Awana. Maybe that's your next step of discipleship. But that's what we want to see happen in our students' and kids' lives. It's the word of God will come and get a hold of them. We believe it so much that any kid who will come to Awana, we're going to feed them for free. We're going to feed them for free because we believe it's an investment for the kingdom. Because if we can get the word of God planted in their hearts, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we can get that truth in their hearts, it's worth a free meal. Because we believe we are to make fully mature disciples of Jesus. But discipleship isn't just for kids, it's also for students. George is going to be teaching our students a series called Foundations about really getting firm in what we believe and how we practice our faith through spiritual disciplines. And he's going to make sure our students are healthy and growing. Also on Wednesday nights, we're gonna have adult classes because adults need to be growing too. And so we're gonna be offering several classes on Wednesday nights for you to sign up for. You can sign up on that green card. I'm going to be teaching a class, the pastor's class, called Theology 101, knowing what we believe and why it matters. And we're going to be examining a doctrine each week, and we will look at what we believe and how does it affect our lives, and we'll seek to go deeper in these things. And if you have been a Christian for as long as you can remember, we want to encourage you to come and go deeper in that, to learn about those doctrines and what they mean. If you're a new Christian, it's a great time to come and learn more about what we believe as a church. Ronnie Harden is going to be teaching a class called Gospel-Shaped Worship. It's not just for musicians, but it's for people who want to learn a rhythm of worship in their life. Ginger Lemons will be teaching a women's study called Finding I Am, about the I Am statements in the book of John. John Strawn will be leading a men's study to teach men how to follow Jesus together and what it means to know God's word better. I want to encourage you, if you want to be a fully mature disciple of Jesus, be here on Wednesday nights for discipleship night, starting August 22nd. Have your family here, because I promise you, not one person has ever looked at me and said, Brady, I wish I would have grown less like Jesus. I wish I would have known less about the Bible. I've never had anyone tell me that. So I want to encourage you, make that a priority this fall in your life. When we would go on vacations, there'd always be three things that were said. First, can we stop because I got to go to the bathroom? Y'all know that one. Second, when are we going to eat? And third, are we there yet? You know, I believe it's far too easy as a church and as families to keep just driving and hoping we arrive as fully mature disciples. But the Apostle Paul is telling us, you do not have to drive aimlessly. You don't just get in the car and go, that there is a plan for your family and our church, not just to survive, but thrive. He says, you must understand where you're headed to make disciples fully mature. You must understand the mission to see everyone from kids to adults become fully mature disciples by teaching them and warning them against false teaching, applying it with wisdom to their lives. So this morning, I want to encourage you, wherever you are, take the next step. Dads, maybe it's time for you to step up and lead your homes. Moms, maybe it's time you talk to your husband about leading your home. Maybe it's time for you to step up in some significant way to be able to start discipling your kids. Maybe it's time for you to quit making excuses and start reading your Bible. Maybe it's time you start signing up for a class or joining a Sunday school group. Maybe it's you serve in Awana. Maybe it's you start sharing the gospel at work. Maybe it's you need to start doing a personal study on your own to go deeper in your faith. Maybe you need to follow Jesus in baptism. I don't know where you are, but I do know this, that if he has saved you, he's put you on a new trajectory, and he wants you to take a step, take a step, take a step to become a fully mature follower of Jesus. So what is discipleship? It's a lot like a family vacation, with the goal of getting everyone to eternity's shore as a fully mature disciple. Are we there yet? No. But our Father, who's driving this, the one who's leading this, he knows where he's going. And he's going to make sure we all get there safely. So I want to encourage you. Let's buckle up. And let's enjoy the ride, because our Father will make us fully mature followers of Jesus. So him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we might present not just a select few, not just the kids, not just the students, not just the easy cases, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. As a church, we know where we're going. We know how to get there. So let's go together, united, to make disciples for his glory. Let's pray.
This concludes a message from Pastor Brady Martin. To find out more about Temple Baptist, visit tbcgainesville.org or facebook.com/tbcgainesville.